clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So I'm saying all of that to say this. When you pray, who are you praying to? God. Talking to God. Where can you do this? You can do it anywhere. Now, I don't recommend that you drive down the road with your eyes closed and your hands folded. But you can, in fact, while you're going down the highway, you could pray if you need to. If you feel a sense, a need to pray about something, someone's, whatever, you can pray even while driving down the highway. It's less distracting than the other things that people do when they're driving. And it's not illegal either, as far as I know. Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means to not stop doing it. Uninterrupted prayer. That means we can always be in a spirit of prayer. There's never anything in our lives but what we should pray about. And you don't have to get down on your knees and by your bed or any place else to pray. You can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything. Kinds of prayer. What is prayer? How to communicate with God. And how does God communicate with us in return? Those are the 4 points that I wanted to go through here this morning. I'm not sure I'm going to get through all of them. But we'll try. Kinds of prayer, number one, individual prayer. One-on-one. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. When you get saved, you become a child of God. You're a child of the King. What is a child of the King? A prince. And so you have a right to come to him because you have that relationship, that family relationship. And he doesn't say, come timidly, you know, up to the throne. You can just barge in there. And I don't know how God does it. It doesn't matter we're talking about a billion people, 6 billion people. It doesn't matter how many people over the process of time. God catches it all. He hears it all. He can pay attention to everyone and attend to those concerns immediately, sometimes. Sometimes he waits, puts it off. But we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. It's a throne where God ministers grace. God loves you. And he saved you. And it's not based on your merit that you have a right to come to him. It's by grace. Unmerited favor. And as a child of God, you can just, it's just like the kids here sometimes, you know, they just come right up here freely. They don't think anything about it. That's the way we can come to God. We're his children. Let us come boldly. When you think about one-on-one faith, you can think of different characters in the Bible. And Jesus rebuked the disciples a few times in this way. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Little faith. Where is your faith? And when you think about it, you can come to the throne of grace and pray. And you can make things happen. What happens when a child comes to a parent begging for something, asking for something, wants something? Usually, unless you're a hard-hearted parent, usually you attend to that request. You want to hear what they're saying. What is it you want? And if it's possible, you want to give your child what it is they're asking for. Unless, of course, you know it's not good for them or harmful or it's not the right time. Think about that when you pray and talk to God. God, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need that, whatever, something's happening. Do you think God's turning a deaf ear? No, he's listening. And he knows what's good, he knows what's right, and he knows he wants to bless you. In fact, he promises to bless us. But not always in the way or at the time frame that we are expecting. And I wanted to say this before it gets forgotten and I don't say it. I said it to our prayer group this morning before the service, the elders and leaders. Did you ever hear the story of Job? You know, you think about there's trials and things happening, present tense, concerns we have, and it sounds like, oh, what's going on? I mean, this is bad, you know. Oh, so we had a flood. I mean, that's happened before. We'll get over it. Get a new hot water tank, things dry out, you carry on. Somebody said to me, we probably need a new building. I said, probably just need just some maintenance concerns, you know, just to keep the building maintained. Fill it up twice, fill it up three times, build a $1 million building somewhere else later on if you want to, but right now, just take care of the one you got and fill it up and just use it for what it's meant for, which is the blessing, it is. But remember Job, the trials of Job? Things weren't going very well for Job. In fact, how would you like to lose your family, all your property, all your belongings, all but your nagging wife? I don't know why God mentioned that in there, but he did. I'm not trying to pick on you ladies. But Job's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, thanks a lot. And it's very interesting at the end of the story of Job, everything turns out well. He's blessed twice over what he had before. Things turned out well. And he had the same wife. And they had more children. That's amazing to me. That's the grace of God. So Job was faithful in his belief in God. He had questions. He went through trials, all these things. But you know, it turned out well in the end. Keep that in mind in your own life. You might be going through some pretty hard times. And when you think about that, think about Job and think how it turned out. And what we're talking about this morning is prayer. And we're talking about faith as a basis for prayer, because it's not how much faith you have, but it's who you have faith in that makes the difference. Prayer can move mountains. Jesus told his disciples, you know, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And those mountains could be literal. Maybe that's what Jesus was talking about. He might have been talking figuratively and talking about spiritual mountains. He could have been talking about kingdoms, sometimes represented by mountains in Scripture. One man going with faith, believing in God, that God sent him and went with the gospel and preached the gospel, the power of the gospel to change lives, and whole nations were changed just because one person went and preached the word of God. And it wasn't because that one person had faith. It's the faith that he had in God. Because God said go. God said do this. And the person believed and went. And I'm thinking both in Scripture, and I'm thinking of missionaries that have gone to foreign lands, and at certain cases lost their whole families in the process through death, health-wise, and things like that. But they stayed true to God, stayed true to the purpose, and, you know, finally, after years, got the first convert. And then over the years, people getting saved, becoming Christians. That's an amazing thing to read the stories of some of these missionaries. But it was not their faith, particularly, that was the power. It's who they had their faith in that had the power to change. So we look at some people and say, oh, I wish I had their faith. Jesus said, if you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can accomplish things. You have power. You have power with God. God is the one who has power. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and on earth. There's two kinds of word for power in the New Testament. One is a dynamite power, dunamis. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, or has the power. It's the power of God unto salvation in Romans chapter 1, the dunamis, dynamite kind of power. And then there's the other kind of power, authority kind of power. Jesus had it all. And he works through us. And he works through us in answer to prayer. If we ignore talking to God and bringing our concerns to him, then there's things that don't get done. But sometimes God just says, well, okay, maybe you don't care, but the other person does. I'll take an answer to their prayer. Or maybe nobody's concerned, but he's moving. He knows what's good and best in our world. Today we look at the world and say it's in chaos. Where's God? God hasn't gone anywhere. We have sometimes gone away from God or ignored God or we're indifferent. We need to get back to some basic things, and that's why we're talking about prayer this morning. Prayer. There's individual prayer, there's group prayer, two or three or more. Matthew 18:19, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's individual prayer, there's group prayer. I was thinking about this part this morning, just as a matter of fact. And I was thinking, you don't have to be a theological expert. You don't have to be an expert where everything is in the Bible. You need to have some basic things under your belt. You need to know for sure you're saved, for one thing. You better have some scripture you base your salvation on. If it's John 3:16, that's a good one. But you better know some promises about salvation to know you're saved so that the devil can't come along and shake your faith in your God and your salvation. Or are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Yes. How do you know that? Because God said so. It says it right there. He promised. Those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whatever scriptures that you hold dear, as you grab onto for your assurance, especially in times of troublous thoughts or troublous times, you need to be unshaken in the fact that you know you belong to God. And you're kept by his power. I think it's John chapter 10. It says we are in his hand, in Jesus' hand. His hand is in the Father's hand. That's how he keeps us secure. We're his. We belong to him. And nobody can steal you away. Not even your own foolish thoughts sometimes. When you're born again, it's a new birth. It's like a natural birth. When a baby is born, you can't undo that. The baby's born. You can't just say, oh, I don't want him. Put him back. You're born into this world, like it or not. And a spiritual birth, when it happens, you're born of God. John chapter 3 says we're born from above. We're born of God. We're born by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a new life takes place inside. We're born again. New life. Sure, you got the body and the old nature, but you have a new life and a new nature, a spiritual life. So you want to be at the point in your life where you're unshaken about that matter. Because if the devil can get you to doubting whether you're a Christian, whether you're saved or not, then you're not going to go on to do anything else for God. You're just stuck right there. You're in a rut. So beyond that, and I was just getting to the two or three or more, that you don't have to be a theological expert, but you better have those facts under your belt about salvation. What can we do commonly that you don't have to be an expert at, that the Bible says do, where there's real power and power of change? You know, the political thing going on right now, I hate all that stuff. Everybody's talking this, and they're making promises, and they're all saying they're the best, you know, and all that. How do you know? You gotta be a real genius to sort that all out. But power of change, I know for a fact, comes by prayer to God. You know how I know that? For one thing, the Bible promises. And second of all, by example. You know all the great revivals of the past, how they started? They didn't start so much with great preaching. What they started with before the great preaching started really taking effect was prayer. And not to disparage age, but some people might look at some elderly lady or ladies or people, wherever, and say, what can they do? What are they doing in our church? What effect are they having? You don't know. And the leadership doesn't know. the power there is in some one person, whoever that may be, or persons, praying for you, praying for your worship team, praying for the pastor, praying for the church. There's power in prayer. And those revivals started out that way. People getting together to pray, confessing their own sins and asking God's forgiveness and blessing and praying for revival in the church. And that's where it starts. It starts through prayer. So even when we get old and gray and feeble and we can't do a lot of things, we can pray. Even if you can't see or you can't hear very well, whatever, it doesn't matter. You can still pray. Even when you're on your sick bed, you can still pray. And there's power in that. And every pastor and every spiritual leader in church should remember, even people in their sick bed and their deathbed probably are praying for you. They're not really praying for themselves because they know, I mean, that's just a fact of life. You get old and die. That's just going to happen one way or another. But what their concern is for you, that God will bless you. They're praying for you. They're praying for the church. There's power in prayer. And you know, it would be a wonderful thing, and I don't know if it happens in this church because I don't know too much about what's going on in small groups. But you know, you can get together without having to have a bunch of food, without having a Bible study. And I'm not saying food is bad or Bible studies are bad, but you know what the most important ingredient should be? You get together for prayer. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And you could get together in small groups anywhere, anytime, whether you get together for coffee, you get together in a home, you get together on the sports field, wherever you are, that you can have a time where you get together for prayer and pray about things, pray about needs. And there's power in that. God loves to hear from you. So there's individual prayer. He wants you to come boldly to the throne of grace. There's group prayer together in numbers of two or three or more and pray. And then there's corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Remember when Peter was in prison? It says the church was praying for Peter. You know, the hilarious part of that is God delivered him in answer to their prayers. His chains fell off, and the angel led him out. The doors opened to the jail he was in, and it was a miraculous thing, and led him out of there. The church was praying. You know, he showed up at where the house where they were praying and was knocking on the door, and there was a servant woman. She's even named Rhoda. She came to the gate, the door, in answer to the, you know, let me in. Hey, guys. And she recognized the voice, and she saw it was Peter, and she didn't bother to unlock the gate door. She ran back in and said, guess what? Peter's out there. Ah, no, couldn't be. Well, weren't you just praying about it? Well, that's impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. And they went back out there, and it was Peter, delivered from jail. There's a few jailbirds in the Bible accounts, you know, like Peter and Paul. They wound up in jail for various good reasons. Not that they were criminals, but because they were faithful Christians. Let me just qualify that. So corporate prayer, prayer of the church. Sometimes we need to just meet together and have prayer corporately. I know we pray in the service, but there are some times when a church just needs to have a special time and we all come together for prayer and pray about this or that. Or whether it's a small group setting. I can remember when I was in Bible college and we were involved in the bus ministry in our church. There was three or four of us bus leaders or workers that would get together Saturday night at a rock, which was symbolic, of course, the rock Christ Jesus. We'd get together at this rock down by the lake just in the south part of town, and we would pray for the next day in our buses picking up kids and that they would come and that they would hear and that they would decide to believe in Jesus and all those kinds of things. And it was amazing. The fellowship that we had, for one thing, together around that, as well as the answer to prayer. It was special time. And those kinds of times are special. It draws you close to one another. It draws you close to the Lord, and the Lord answers prayer. But this corporate prayer, we've been praying about this, and nothing's happening. Well, maybe not yet, but just keep praying. Sometimes answers come right now. Sometimes God waits. He knows the right timing. He says in John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Among those commandments is prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. And you don't always have to stop and come to the church or get somewhere in a place down on your knees to pray. You can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. And maybe you have to make a snap decision about something, but you can take a little time to pray. Lord, what should I do about this? And listen for God's voice. How does God communicate with us? He communicates individually, thoughts that the Holy Spirit puts in our minds, his word. John chapter 16 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. John 16. So the Holy Spirit is given unto us to train us, to instruct us, to speak to us about spiritual matters. He will not speak of himself, and this is one of the problems with certain areas of Christianity where the Holy Spirit is overemphasized. The Holy Spirit is so overemphasized that you lose sight of Jesus. That's not what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to point people to Jesus. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. So that's something to keep in mind when you think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't to be glorified. Jesus is to be glorified. And the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and minds in such ways to point us to Jesus and his will, his word. You want an answer about something? Many times you'll find it by just opening the Bible and start reading, and God will just suddenly cause something to jump out at you, and you've got your answer. Sometimes you need an answer quickly and you just don't know. So how do you know? You get peace. The Holy Spirit will give you peace about what's right. If you're disturbed and not at peace about something, that's not the Holy Spirit, because he's the comforter. And he's come to lead you into truth. And truth is a comfort. And so you'll not be in turmoil and like the waters roiling if it's the Holy Spirit. If it's not the Holy Spirit, you'll feel troubled about it. He communicates individually through his word when you read the Bible, for his word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Who told the preacher about me? He was talking about me in the service today. Nobody. I've had that accusation. Somebody must have told you I was going to be here. Nobody told me you were going to be here. In fact of the matter is, the Lord guided me to change my message, and I didn't even know you were going to be here. But it happened to be the message God wanted you to hear. That's the way God works. He knows our needs. And he knows who's going to be where. And he works through his word and by his spirit. And his word is sharp and powerful. And it goes deep to the joints and marrow. I mean, that's getting in pretty deep. And the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so people will say, you know, that was just what I needed today. Well, God knows what you need. But you know, the funny part of it is, if you're at the door shaking hands with people, and there are some who say, you know, that really spoke to my heart, that thing about da-da-da-da-da-da, and I don't remember ever saying anything about that. But that's what they heard. That's what they got out of it. And that's the way God works, because the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God to your life as need be. And that's what you heard, or thought you heard, or at least you heard by the Spirit working in your heart. Or they'll say the message was about, that wasn't the topic at all, but that's what they got out of it. That happens to pastors all the time. So he speaks individually through the Holy Spirit, through his word, and he speaks corporately through thought and word as a body. He speaks to the congregation. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church is the assembly. Church is not an institution that's headquartered somewhere in some place. Church in Scripture is either talking about all believers, and they will eventually assemble together. It means ekkaleo, congregation, assembly, called out for a particular purpose. When our church meets together, it's because we've assembled together. This is the church building. This is where the church meets. This is not the church. We're so used to saying, well, I'm going to church today. Well, the church is going to the meeting place today. That's really what's happening. You, as a congregation, are a body of believers in this particular location that reflects Christ as head, here to worship God, find instruction and fellowship, and baptism and communion are ordinances given to each church to do in appropriate times. But you are the church in this location. There are many churches in Kelowna. They assemble and gather together for worship, instruction, preaching of the word, and the things that they engage in. But then what about other than Sunday? Well, you are First Baptist Church in the community wherever you are. You are part of that. You're part of the body, but you're out there influencing those that you associate with and those kinds of things, or helping people doing the work of the body of Christ as individuals. And corporately, when we come together, we are assembled, just like Parliament. Is Parliament Parliament when it's out of session and everybody goes to their constituencies? Would you say, well, Parliament is over there. Parliament is over there. No, Parliament is in Ottawa when they assemble. They gather together. We are First Baptist Church when we gather together and assemble together here, but individually we go to our constituencies, our places of work, our neighborhoods, wherever. And we represent First Baptist Church. So something to think about. The church is important. It was established by the Lord for a reason. We need fellowship. We need instruction. We need to be corporately involved together to accomplish many different things. And so he says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we're to be known for taking a stand for the truth of God's word, preaching the gospel that people might be saved, hearing the good news that Jesus saves. That's among our primary purposes. And it says that he is the head of the body in Colossians 1:18. Pastor Steve is not the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. He's the head of the body of Christ in general terms, and he's the head of every body that professes to be a church, a Christian church, proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so we need to remember who's the head. Who are we being obedient to? Who are we serving? Ultimately, we're serving Jesus. We belong to him. We're his body. Acts chapter 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Who sent them? Well, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas, and they were sent out by the church, but it says they being sent by the Holy Spirit. So it works like that. And so the church is important as being a sending agency and doing the work of the ministry of evangelism and getting the gospel out to the world. And you know, every church has the same authority to do that. And we're losing time, so I can't spend much time on this. But just remember, it doesn't matter what size your church is, you have the same authority and you have the same power to accomplish the job that God's called you to do, because he's the head. He's the one who enables us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us individually and corporately. And so your church, our church, is the pillar and ground of the truth in this place and in our mandate in the community. And every other church that claims to be an evangelical gospel preaching church has the same mandate and the same power. It doesn't matter if they have 1,000 membership or if they have 100 membership. It's all the same. It's just a different scale, which is pretty interesting, because sometimes small churches feel like they're kind of powerless or they're kind of off in a corner by themselves. It doesn't matter the size. What matters is the heart of the matter. And you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish through prayer, because you're praying to the one who has the power to accomplish any and everything. So pray without ceasing. And finally, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, when he was talking about the armor of God, he says to pray always. And it's very interesting how he puts this, because he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's talking about the armor of God and being prepared to do the work of God. So praying always with all prayer and supplication. It says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we were discussing this morning, did Paul write this from the guest house that he was staying in when he was first in Rome? Or was this from the dungeon where he was the second time in prison? And we have the prison epistles. And the experts seem to be a little unclear about that. And in the end, it really doesn't matter which scenario it is, because Paul was incarcerated. And as you read there, he was not free to go where he wanted to go, but people came and went the first time, and he even had access to Caesar's household through that means. It's amazing. Those of Caesar's household send greetings. There were people who became Christians right under the nose of probably, I don't know which one it was, Roman emperor. Doesn't matter. Might have been Nero, might have been somebody else. But people were becoming Christians right in Caesar's household because Paul was there. So he says, pray for me. Pray always with all prayer and supplication. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, do we pray enough? We get so caught up with everything that's going on around us, and that's one of the major ingredients in our spiritual health that gets neglected a lot. We have prayer every day, or at least we try to have prayer every day at breakfast time, and we have certain route that we go in our prayer time, praying for different people, different organizations, or whatever it may be, and I hope you do too. But there's many other times that maybe we should be praying and we don't, because we're so caught up, we're so busy. But just remember that in your busyness, you can still include prayer. Because you can pray about everything you're doing, your work, your relationships, your family, your church service, whatever it may be, anywhere, anytime, you can pray. So it's interesting that scripture there, pray without ceasing, what it's sandwiched in between. And I will close with this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, above and after, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. What's always mean? Just once in a while? Rejoice always. That's in the Lord. You have a lot to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what your circumstances are. But rejoice. And then he says, pray without ceasing. And that pray without ceasing, then the other side of the preface there is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. If you can apply that portion of Scripture to your life consistently, you'll be one happy camper. It doesn't matter what circumstances come your way, you'll be able to face it. And let me tell you this, circumstances are getting worse and worse. They're not getting better and better in our world. And we don't know how long it'll be before the very things that we're saying, how horrible that is over there across the ocean somewhere, are going to be happening here. We don't know. But it could happen quicker than one would think. If our economic system collapsed, and it could collapse just that quick, then what? And are we going to be around when some of the things are talked about in the Bible? In the end times, we don't really know for sure. We would hope that would escape some of those things, but we don't know that. So we need to be prepared as believers to pray and be ready to have the armor on, because circumstances could be, we face some challenges. Be ready for it. Don't be surprised when it comes, because that's part of the times we're in. It's not easy to be a Christian. And we see them getting their heads lopped off over there in the Mideast. And we're not. But we have our own pressures to deal with. We have our own trials to deal with. And who's to say that it will be illegal to be a Christian here someday? We don't know that. So in your thinking, just be ready and prepared. It doesn't matter what comes. I believe. It's good, that song. I believe. And the one you believe in makes all the difference. The faith that you have, it's the one you have faith in that makes all the difference, not how much faith you can conjure. And pray without ceasing.